Welcome back to the Life on Target podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Spearing, bringing you a episode on what I've learned the last 7 or so years about work, how I have transformed my mindset about it to where when it is difficult, when it is hard, when it is soul draining or feels like it is, my process or reorienting my perspective on it, my way of working through it. And this was sparked because I got a question this week from someone that said that they feel like their work is soul draining. They don't like being in an office. The bright spot is that they have a boss that is a Christian and understands it, but they don't feel like they're good at it and they want to change careers or thinking about changing careers or thinking about starting their own business and what kind of feedback would I have. And this caused me to go back to my journey when I was upset about my work, when I didn't like it. Talked about it a little bit before, but I don't think I've zoomed in on it that much. And so I pulled back out the book that hit me like a ton of bricks when I read it. It's The Benedict Option. And it's by Rod Dreher, but goes through and follows kind of the Benedictine monastery's process. Their motto is work and prayer. They're not about shutting themselves up away from society. They're about actually doing real things, but using that work as a way to drive them to prayer. So the Benedictines view their work as an expression of love and stewardship of their community and as a way of reordering the natural world in harmony with God's will. So that's a quote from the chapter on work. And I think that ultimately the way that I was able to take joy and rejoice in my toil, as it says in Ecclesiastes, behold, what have I seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot. So understanding that work is toil. I think what I told this young man that reached out to me is that we have an improper view of work in that we think if we can just find our passion, find the thing that we're good at, that work will be easy, work will be fun, work will fulfill a deep need in our being that we have, and it will just meet everything. The reality is that work is cursed at this point, that we are not in communion with God as our first father and mother were in the garden with God, but that sin has put distance between us and God. And now we have a mediator, our elder brother Jesus, that sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes for us. And we have to accept the post-fall nature of work in that it will require the sweat of our brow, that there will be things fighting us. And particularly for a Christian working, the devil and your flesh, don't give the devil all the credit. You are a sinful son of a gun too, and you just pout and whine and are a little brat about stuff as well. But the nature of it is going to be to want to whine about it, to want it to suck the soul from you, as is said by this young man. And I think that I'm not saying that I haven't gone through that. I still don't have to fight that on a daily basis. But I think just embracing that there is not going to be rest from our toil in rest in the ultimate sense until Christ comes again. And so sometimes just analyzing the problem and making sure that you realize that it's not going to change. It's going to be hard. There's going to be toil. You're going to want to pout about it. You're going to want to. And so the Benedictine, I want to just read there, the cook, Father Basil of the Benedictine monastery, how he talks about work and then tie that back to when I first heard this. So he says, ultimately, work serves as an expression of charity, of love, and that is what all work really should be. This is a lesson we have to work on all our lives to learn. Work is not something I do in order to get something. Doing it is good for me. It's constructive of my happiness because in it and through it, I show love for others. We're called to love. Work is a concerted way of showing our love for others. In that sense, it can become very transformative and very prayerful too. Too often, it's seen as a burden, and it doesn't have to be. If we approach work as a burden, something's wrong in here, he said, pointing to his heart. The problem needs to be fixed primarily here, in the heart. And when I heard this the first time, I was listening to this book on audio. I was at a point where I was essentially working for free on a remodel. And I didn't have a lot of money either. I was having trouble paying my bills. And I had a scope of work that I had to complete for the client, even though I had already spent more time than I had expected. I hadn't figured out how to bill properly. I hadn't figured out how to value my skill and time or communicate it. The client wasn't doing anything wrong. The client was incredibly peaceful, incredibly good to work for, paid on time, glowing in her comments about our work. She was super sweet. And so she was doing everything that I, the owner of the business, was asking her to do. I, as the business owner, hadn't figured out how to do billing correctly. Maybe I just was not good at my work, fast enough at my work. And I had just cut some trim panels that were supposed to go on the sides of her vanities. And I was making a cutout for the plug. And I cut the wrong side of the panel. So essentially, both of them should have been cut opposite ways. I couldn't switch them around because of the way it was as mirror image. And so what I had to do now was manufacture two new end panels, paint them to match because it was not a custom cabinet. I had to figure out how to match the paint. I had to create one from scratch because I messed up. And that equaled, I think it was about 2 days or so of additional work because I didn't realize which panel I was cutting and mark it properly. It sucked. And I was listening to this, essentially going back to that job and thinking, my heart is wrong. I did make mistake. The nature of this is it's going to be hard. And I need to get better at my work. I need to get better at business, understanding how long things are going to take. But because I'm not there yet because I made this mistake, I don't get to pout about it right now. I don't get to pitch a fit. I don't get to whine because the reality is that I'm alive. I am healthy. I have a family that loves me. I don't have a lot of money in my bank account, but ultimately that shouldn't be the thing that determines my level of happiness because now that I have money in my bank account, more consistently and in larger amounts, it doesn't mean there's less to worry about. It doesn't mean work is easier. It doesn't mean problems aren't coming up daily. It doesn't mean clients aren't sending me strings of emails, not clients that I ended up hiring, but clients that are trying to get us to do work for them, thinking that they send me some angry emails, that it makes me really happy to work for them and that the price is going to be a good price and that I'm going to do my work faster because they're browbeating me. Beside the point, back to work. I can look at these emails. I can look at the things that are going on and I can work to maintain a prayerful heart posture. And what they talk about in Father Martin of the in the Benedictine Martyr says that anytime we take something natural, something material, and we make something out of it for the sake of giving glory to God, it becomes sacramental and it becomes a channel of grace. So even when, and it can be harder, I think, for those of you that are in the white collar industry and those of you that are not necessarily taking material things. This particular guy said he was in accounting. So it can be harder when you're looking at the numbers and the spreadsheets and it's all files in the computer, as they say, and it doesn't, it's, you're not able to feel it, smell it, and all these things. But we have to remember that Colossians 3, 23 and 24 about doing everything and whatever we find to do for the Lord and wanting our inheritance to come from Him. So that understanding that work is for God's glory and that it's not something we do in exchange for money, but ultimately we do for His glory has helped me a lot. So the next thing about that, I know it's not entirely helpful to just say, suck it up, buttercup, and get to work. But the other side of this is, if doesn't mean you're supposed to stay where you are. You could have gotten bad advice from people in your life and felt like that the key was, I got to get this degree. If I get this degree, then I can get this good job. And I get this good job, then I can have all the things in life that are necessary for my happiness. And now that you have that degree and you have that job, you're not happy. Well, you know, like we talked about up to this point, it could be just a heart problem. That could be you improperly viewing work and its place in your life. But it also could mean you're in the wrong job. Could mean that you need to change. Could mean that you need to move. It could mean that it's time to take risk. And as we've talked about in other episodes before, the way that you do that is by doing a time audit, by understanding what your time that you spend to things that are not fruitful, and how do you reallocate that to learning a new skill, to gaining knowledge, to changing your beliefs about the world in a way that enables you to do something different work-wise. And I can say that in construction for the longest time, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get out and start doing this podcasting stuff. I'm gonna start doing these speaking gigs. I'm gonna start that's gonna be my primary thing, and I'm not gonna have to worry about clients. I'm not gonna have to worry about this. It's a pipe dream, and ordering the podcast aspect of things and the way that it fits into my primary business, which is construction and real estate, and relaying the lessons that I'm learning in real life as I try to shape the material world for His glory, as I also do it in exchange for money and pay for my family and all these things, is the necessary and proper view of what I do. But I'm also enjoying it more, not because the work is easier, not because solely because I'm making more money, although that does help when you feel like you're getting paid in accordance to the level of effort that you're doing and for clients and learning that process. And we're going to talk more about that as we continue to go. But the other side of it is, if you are stuck and you feel like it is soul draining, first work on the heart posture. Say, this is the job that I have. This is where I am now. This is what pays me. This is who I'm working for. And can I view that process as me channeling my energy for God's glory, not for money, not for recognition, but to ultimately receive that inheritance from the Heavenly Father? After you work on that, which I would suggest you work on that immediately, because no matter where you end up in work, you're not going to be happy if that heart problem exists. Secondly, say you work 40 hours a week, you have family, you have obligations in the community. Find all the time that you have that you're spending on things that aren't helping you get where you want to go, specifically vocationally. In this episode, we're talking about that, and figure out how to learn. Listening to the podcasts that I have on entrepreneurship, on ways to start a business, I'll link those in the show notes. Those can be things. I got a blog post about how to get entrepreneurial, and there's a list of my favorite books in there. So I'll post that here and start to learn how to change your mind, or change your mindset about work, change your mindset understanding passive income versus active income. And how do you try to move from somebody who's running a small business or somebody in the daily thing to getting more leverage with more labor and more software and more automation and media which is what we're working on now in our companies, these things that you have to learn, and the sooner you learn them, the more they start to get benefit. Just like if you invest money earlier, you get a higher return because that money continues to labor. The Richest Man in Babylon, the book I like so much, talking about gold continuing to labor round the clock and bearing children. Money properly invested bears children, bears fruit, continues to compound. The exact same thing happens when you gain knowledge and you gain skill. Because you have it now, you can start employing it towards a specific end state, and then it brings a yield. And it continues, to reap a harvest for you as God sees fit. And I think ultimately doing that, understanding those principles of how to invest time and money and gaining skill, combined with the proper heart posture, allows you to have a more balanced, more enjoyable relationship with the work that you find yourself in. So I hope you found this helpful. I hope that it gives you some things to think about, helps you figure out how to have a better view of work now and the job that you're in, and then gives you a couple tips and tricks to start allocating your time if the Lord is calling you to move, to change professions, and to do something different. Change your heart so that you don't get to that new job and that profession and realize that it's the same as the old job, because that rotten heart posture that you had at the old one is still there. So twofold fixes, twofold solution to the problem, and maybe realizing that the one that you have, the job that you have, for the time, the investment, the return that you get, is worth staying at, and just fixing your heart posture. You have someone else that is in your circles that you know that is struggling with this, that is having a bad attitude about their work, that is having a hard time with it. Share this episode. Hopefully my struggle with it, my continued desire to improve my relationship and my mindset with regard to work, is helpful, inspirational to you, and enables you to do the things that God has put in front of you today for His glory. As always, have a good one.